And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Oh, we got Isaiah Stewart and LeBron. Isaiah wants some of him. Isaiah's not going away. They called technical fouls because they dusted up in the lane during the free throws. Isaiah's going after him. They've got to hold him back. Wow.
Isaiah, he's bleeding badly. You can see why he is so upset.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite Athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Jay King. We got Mo Dakhil. And have we got a deal for you? That's right. Listen up, you turkeys. We got Black Friday coming up. We've got Cyber Monday coming up, and that means that if you have not subscribed to The Athletic yet, one, the hell are you doing? Two, you can get it for $1 a month for 12 months. Jay, that's right. $1 a month for 12 months. Sign up for the best coverage of sports on the internet. Trey, I couldn't believe it either. It seems like we're giving it away. $1 a month.
Sounds like it's damn near free.
I know, it's damn near free. Like,
yeah, this is dangerous, man. I'm not sure approved this?
I don't think we should be doing this. I don't even think I should give this readout. I feel as sick as that fan in Sacramento giving this out because I'm worried that it's too good of a deal. But this is what it is. You're going to get the best coverage of sports on the internet. You're going to get it for $1 a month. Actually, let's just keep this between us, okay? We're going to keep this. This is what you do. Go to theathletic.com/NBA show, okay? Theathletic.com/NBA show. $1 a month. You got to do it before midnight of Monday, November 29th. And you lock in the very best price, not just the year, that we've ever given out. Just $1 a month for new subscribers. Again, theathletic.com/NBA show. Go sign up. On today's show, guys, speaking of great deals, not anything the Lakers did this offseason because they are in trouble. Okay. With that for a transition. Jay, you saw it up close. I watched the Lakers game against the Celtics and LeBron's return to the court. And granted, it's one game. It's November, blah, blah, blah. Get all the qualifiers out. But it's the fact that after the game, have you ever heard LeBron James say in November, we need to have a sense of urgency? That's what I like this whole time. I've just been like, yeah, they suck with Westbrook and AD on the floor and no LeBron, but whatever. LeBron's going to come back and he'll right the ship because he's LeBron and all this stuff. And then the fact that he was like, yeah, we need to play with a sense of urgency. Jay, I was like, oh no, this team's in trouble.
Yeah. Cause LeBron has always been a lack of urgency guy.
Yeah.
We've got LeBron James. We'll figure this out, guys. But it's different this year. They have a lot to figure out. Their pieces don't really mix. They got a lot of guys who play one end of the court, if they play one end of the court at all. And like the Russ thing is just going to take a lot of figuring out. They do have time, but like LeBron said, this is urgent. they got to really, really start figuring out. And he's tried to do this before, like with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, which is probably a more natural fit than Russ. And certainly they were more in the prime of their careers at that point. That took a long time. It took them a long time to figure out how to play together. When he got to Cleveland, they were bad for a while too. And early in the first regular season there. And this Lakers team, they've got guys who are creaky, guys who are flawed, and there is no chemistry there at all right now.
Yeah, Trey, with the Lakers, maybe I'm misremembering this. I feel like you've been a little off this, right? Like the last couple of weeks, you've been like, yeah, I don't know about this Lakers team. But with LeBron back, again, just one game against the Celtics, but like he didn't, and I know it's November, so he's not going to go all out, but I'm looking at all these like defensive mistakes by the team during the game, and like, oh, that was LeBron's help. Oh, that was LeBron's help. Like he's not even going for this stuff right now, and he will have to set a tone to get everybody on the same page, right?
I will say this just to start it off. They have the same record as the 2012-2013 team. I don't know what that means. I don't know where it's going, but that's not a great sign. It's not a great sign. And you're right. He doesn't really make emphasis about sense of urgency in November. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's normally even keel about how things are going and, you know, pretty poised. This doesn't look like a poised man. And obviously he missed some games and, you know, they got a bunch of guys that have been in and out of the roster and things of that nature. But overall, like they started off hot and I was like, does LeBron make this much impact? And is it business as usual? Or is it one of those things that like, you know, they're back. Well, they're not back and it's defense. It's been defense this entire time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's not about the spacing. Right?
They suck so bad. Like, and it's, you know, obviously I feel bad because, you know, it's the whole AD versus Giannis thing now. It's just so many different distractions. At first it was Russ turnovers. You know what I mean? The last time Russ led the league in turnovers, he won MVP. Like, it's all these like comparing things that just doesn't help the Lakers in their situation. And like you mentioned, a lot of these are LeBron's fault, but to be fair, it's team defense. You know what I mean? Like, I forgot who it was that played. The last matchup the Nets had, and the Warriors were running a triangle and two. You know what I mean?
Like, to get KD out of the mix. Yep.
Yes, and it's like there's so many different schemes, but I think this falls on Vogel and the coaching staff to make these adjustments to support the team that they have and the makeup of it. You know what I mean? If you're banking on guys like Trevor Ariza or Kendrick Nunn to come in and boost your defense, then God bless, because that's not happening. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
no, I'm not saying that. Like, I'm not saying that Trev won't, you know, bring
it.
No,
but he's not going to fix the defense.
Yeah, but that's a lot. That's a lot to ask for. And guys just really been stinky.
Yeah, even at his best, Trevor Reason wasn't going to come in and fix a defense, even as a really solid defender. And Mo, this was something where it must have been the loss. Maybe it was after the loss to the Bucks. It wouldn't have. I don't think it would have been. Maybe it was after the Celtics. I can't remember if I was doing it in the radio in the morning or radio at night. But AD after a game saying like, yeah, we just can't score right now. I'm like, you wait. That's the one thing you're supposed to do. Like, that's your bread and butter. Like, you guys should be able to score right now. Like, you got Russ out there. You got Olympic Melo. You got all this shit out there. And, Mo, they can't score. And I don't know, like, I don't know what Vogel can do.
I mean, there's not much Vogel can do on either end of the court. Just look at what you have on who you have on the court half the time. Defensively, who's defending on that roster? Like, just up and down. Who do you look at going like, this is a solid defender. Maybe they have two guys, you know, like AD, LeBron, obviously, but LeBron does it come and go. And all of their defense triggers their offense, gets them in transition, gets them pushing the ball, gets them kind of those opportunities to get Russ going downhill and things like that. In the half court, it's got awful. Like, there's no movement. There's barely any cutting. It's just watch and hope, you know, LeBron can find something. Hope AD can bail you out with a, mid-range jumper, or Russ doesn't throw the ball out of bounds. I mean, it's a tough deal, but also the urgency from LeBron's coming from the fact, I think this is the play-in game. I think having gotten the taste of the play-in tournament last year, he's like, yo, we can't blow games now because we need to make sure we're not in the play-in game come playoffs.
That's a good point. And then the most concerning part is the defense, because the recipe for them when they won a title, the recipe for them last season was have a great defense and hope LeBron and AD are good enough to figure out the offense. And that was a huge part of it, because they don't have, honestly, enough surrounding offensive talent, enough surrounding offensive shooting to build, I think, like a great, great offense. They're going to have to win with hustle. They're going to have to win with athleticism. They're going to have to win with defense. And that part is missing right now. It's just, yeah, it's not there. And with the roster, like, it's tough to envision them getting back to that level where they were last season. Even when AD and LeBron missed time, that defense was great. And they just don't have that right now.
They had guys that were willing to defend in that sense.
And Caruso again.
Yeah, you know, it's those things. You know, you bring in Malik Monk. He doesn't play defense. You know, and you trade in, you know, defense for offense. But you're screwed when the offense doesn't work, because the guy you have kind of spearheading it in Russ, you know, when LeBron's out, he's not a guy that's going to help your offense.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, and I think the concerning thing for me this early on, and I think the play-in tournament's a great point about this sense of urgency. And I think the thing that concerns me is they've already played 12 games at home.
Easy games.
Yeah. They're 7-5
Oklahoma
at home.
Twice.
Yeah, they've played, right. And they lost both those. Like, they played 12 games at home of their 17. We're recording this before they play in Detroit today. And so maybe they snap this 3-game losing streak. Maybe they get this win on the road. But, like, they got a bunch of road games at some point. And obviously, they're going to have these big stretches of road games. And so, like, maybe, I don't know, Trey, maybe it can be the whole, like, rally around each other on the road. I don't know if older teams like this can, like, muster up that mentality.
Well, I think
it seems like a very young man's game.
I think it's very possible, but it just starts with LeBron. LeBron has to take accountability, and then everybody kind of gets in line. You know what I mean? Like, because Anthony Davis right now is – He's still riding off the whole bubble wave right now, and I'm really not feeling that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh, we suck, or this and that, and it's like, well, it's kind of you too. Like, bro, like, you gotta
100%.
You gotta think about it on that end, and your effort isn't there. Like, if you're a top 75 player all time, or if you're an all-star, or people going to bat and saying that you're one of the greatest generational talents that we've ever seen. We're not seeing it because now you're just getting comfortable with being a Laker and not really being the elite talent that we are used to seeing.
Should have never given him those Ruffles bags.
There you go.
You know,
the playing game. I just want to win a game.
They're a half game ahead of the Timberwolves as we record this. All right. Teams that are actually good, teams that do actually excite. I wanted to get into this because I was thinking about some of these up-and-coming teams. And I know the Hawks took a while last season. It took a coach firing to get going. But I was trying to think, who could be the Hawks of this year? And I just kept it to the East, but we can throw in some Western Conference teams as well. But my candidates for the possible Hawks team that can make an unexpected deep run into the playoffs: the Wizards, who had a fun win Saturday night against the Miami Heat. That was such a great ending to that game. I love the way that I can't believe Montrezl Harrell's playing defense. I really can't. Like, he is, like, they are defending with him on the court. But the Wizards, the Bulls, who obviously have gotten off to a very hot start, but I don't know if anyone's considering them for a deep playoff run. And then shit, the Hawks. Can the Hawks be the Hawks of last year? So, Mo, if I'm throwing those three teams at you, who do you think has the best chance to make a deep run in a playoff?
I'm going with Trey's Bulls. I think, you know, if they can get hot, I don't know if DeMar DeRozan is going to continue to have the career year he's having, but he can get hot. They can get on a run during the playoffs. And that's really kind of what happened to the Hawks. And the sort of the bracket worked out in their favor. I think that can help for the Bulls. And I think they defend better than I thought they would. Caruso's been unbelievable sort of addition coming off the bench. Lonzo's been great, you know, and they're doing this and Vucevic hasn't even really gotten going yet. So I think, you know, the Bulls are probably the team I'm looking at that might be able to make that sneaky run into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Gotten going yet. I mean, come on. Vucevic get yes, going. Yes. He's not going to do anything, but I like this Bulls team. I'm not convinced the Bulls will defend like this all year. Trey, I have actually I know there's a lot of people going, you know, I mean, kind of echoing what Mo just said, like, can DeMar DeRozan keep this up? I have no concerns about DeMar keeping this up. I think this is just him. He had a great year last year. He's having a great year this year. Like, I think he's just comfortable in his game and it's just automatic for him at this point. It's for me, it's the team defense. Trey, it doesn't make sense to me that they're this good defensively.
They're so athletic though.
I mean, I do.
They are remarkably athletic.
I will say I do believe this way because of the pieces that they went and got and that are kind of what we wanted the Lakers to do. You know what I mean? Like, normally when we would brag about the Lakers defense, guess who was a part of it? Alex Caruso. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
Jesus.
It's effort. And it comes to the point of, like, you know, these guys are approaching a situation where they're comfortable and they're rooting for their guys. You got Io coming in, small minutes. You got Caruso. These guys are hustling after the ball. They might be up 10 and they're trying to go get 50-50 balls. Scrappy, gritty, making Kurt Heinrich proud. You know what I'm saying?
So this is very coded language, Trey.
You know?
I'm uncomfortable.
So in this particular moment, you know what I mean? I don't know who called DeMar washed or whatever, and whatever motivation.
Nobody did. Nobody
I don't remember
did.
It. But he it's made great, that up. And I love it because, you know, he's still showing that he had, you know, that he was worth every penny that they paid. And then also his motivation of just, you know, changing the culture in Chicago. I mean, obviously we haven't been this excited about basketball since Derrick Rose, you know, and now, you know, it's fun because people, you know, even Bulls fans are calling, you know, the United Center, basically the Ball Center, because, you know, LeVar Ball, and it's, you know, they're all locked in right now. It's a circus, but you got to enjoy it.
The piece I overlooked about them is the athleticism and the size on the wing. They're weird because they play super small lineups a lot, but the size on the perimeter is just everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, DeRozan was a four for the Spurs a lot last year. You know, like, he can play big.
DeRozan is a superb athlete. He might be like the fourth or fifth most athletic guy in that rotation. Javonte Green.
Yeah,
they've got Derek Jones Jr., Zach LaVine, and then they got Lonzo, Caruso, guys with size and length, hounding guards. And so I thought this defense was going to be bad because you look at LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic historically, but then you see it in action, and Donovan is just really, really tapping into that athleticism. And they're fun to watch. I also think the Wizards, their defense has transformed just as much.
Yeah.
Like they went from...
Wes Unseld Jr. can coach his ass off, man.
Two years of historically bad defense to now they're top five in defense. I mean, it's funny because it's like you look at what the Wizards have done by trading Russ and getting a bunch of pieces that fit. And then you look at the Lakers did, which is just the opposite. And, like, the two teams have gone in different directions. But, yeah, the Wizards just have a lot of pretty good players. Like, they're deep with guys who are pretty good and deserve minutes.
The one thing with the Wizards, I just don't trust them in the playoffs. They're a ton of fun to watch. And everything that they're doing is great. And Zach, you're 100% right. Wes Unseld Jr. is coaching his ass off. Kind of shocking it took this long for him to get a coaching job, but he's proven it that, yo, I belong here, and he's killing it. But I just, come playoff time, I don't know. There's something about it. I just don't buy Kuzma continuing to shoot it as well. I still don't buy Harrell's defense. Like, at some point, right, like, he's going to stop playing defense, right? At some point?
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, they're going to get it, like, they're going to put him in a situation where, like, now you have to take three steps to your right. And I just don't think it's going to happen, right? But, like, they're another team where I don't trust their defense as much as I don't trust the Bulls' defense. But I also think I don't think their offense can be as good as what the Bulls are doing, but I look at what the Wizards are doing offensively, and I think, oh, this will get better. Like, I actually think their offense is underperforming right now, but their defense has been so good. I mean, they're number one in effective field goal percentage against them. It's sound defense. Like, they are last in the NBA in forcing turnovers, right? Like, they're not gambling. They're just playing good, solid defense. But I look at those pieces. I'm like, I mean, yeah, KCP can defend, and Kuzma's a better defender than people think. Bradley Beal's actually just defending great right now. But I look at it, I'm just like, this can't keep up.
Is Spencer Dinwiddie just flat out better than Russ?
I don't think I want to have that conversation. Is he?
I had to choose violence. Had to choose violence. Wow. Today.
No.
I would say just straight up, no. But in what you need, kind of as your Robin, maybe, probably.
I chose violence.
This feels rude. I'm not gonna answer. I recuse myself. I choose not to answer.
Soft.
I would rather have Spencer Dinwiddie.
Oh, that's a different conversation.
No, I don't think it.
Spencer
it
at
is.
20 as opposed to Russ at 44? Yeah.
Russ can do more. Russ will do more.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah. But like, guys are literally like they're begging him to do stuff on that Lakers team. Mm-hmm. And like defenses are just like, please, Russ, do whatever you want. that's what we want, Russ. And he does a lot, but I think Dinwiddie.
Are we overlooking the Hawks in this conversation or anybody else? The thing that worries me about the Hawks is, and we might have talked about this last week, but the fact that Trae Young is just like, man, after being in the playoffs, it's hard to. Hard right. to get up for these games in the regular season. Like, nah, buddy, you don't get to do that yet.
He's treating it like, you know how like another job is interested in you and they're like,
and you interview,
yes. But in your mind, you've already selected that you're going to be working at that job. And then they're like, oh, sorry, you didn't fit.
Working hard. Yes.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you don't get that job. So you have to go back to your job.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan? What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
That's how he's
moving. Given your 2-week notice without accepting the new job. Yes, absolutely.
The Eastern Conference finals hangover is tough to overcome.
It is.
It especially is when you got that's... there on accident.
No. Yes. I was gonna say, like, you don't get to feel like you had the right to be there. You're the Hawks. Like, they did it. They got there. But having this sort of this privileged attitude of, yeah, the regular season doesn't matter to us. I'm like, might need to matter a little bit more to you. So you might need to have some of that LeBron urgency.
I actually think the Hawks, like, by the end of the season, their offense will be very, very good. They'll end up winning a bunch of games.
It's been good so far. It's just a very Nate McMillan style offense, which I don't like, but it's been effective.
Yeah, why aren't they shooting more threes?
Nate McMillan.
I was looking at the stats, and I was like, wait. This team with Trae Young, Bogdanovich, like,
you know,
Gallinari.
Yeah, you know, like, what a whole
like a long list of shooters. Collins can even shoot a little bit. Like, they just have shooters everywhere. I looked at the stats the other day. I don't know where they stand right now. They're in the 20s in 3-point.
They're 26th in 3-point rate. I mean, this is the thing is,
that's just mind boggling.
Yeah, it reminds me of, in terms of just effectiveness versus style, when the Wolves went to the playoffs with Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau as the coach, their offense was like the fourth best offense in the league for pretty much the entire season. But you looked at how that offense was playing, you're like, this is not going to work in the playoffs. As effective as it is right now, it's not going to work in the playoffs. I look at that with the Hawks right now. Like, I want it to be way more open, like you're saying. Because if it's more open and it's not just shoot threes to shoot threes, it's the way that you would create them that just creates so many problems for the opponent. I think this offense right now, even though it's been hyper effective, I think this is an offense you can easily game plan for in the postseason. And they need to switch it up.
They need to get into the postseason. I mean, they'll get in, but like,
they're Did you just argue with yourself?
No, I was just trying to be, you know, happens all the time, Zach.
They are. Look, guys, if the playoffs started today, one, we'd be super fucking confused why the playoffs started today, but two, they wouldn't be in. They wouldn't be in the play-in tournament. What about the Hornets? Should the Hornets be in this conversation?
Well, that's part of the reason why it's tough for the Hawks too, is because the East has improved. Like,
why shit, their division's good except for Orlando.
They were fifth last year. We just got over talking about the Wizards. They're much improved. The Hornets, those guys are a year older and more ready. Like, there are a lot of teams. Miami's way better. There are just a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference that are worthy. Like, there are going to be teams, the Bulls, we talked about them. They're way better.
Yeah, they're not going away.
Just everybody except for Orlando, Detroit, and I'm going to throw Indiana into that into that pile of doo-doo. But,
oh, yeah, I'm out on Indiana. That group of players has been exposed. Where, like, you got to trade some guys off.
The Cavs, like, they won't do anything because their offense isn't good enough, but their defense is really good.
Yeah, Sexton's out for the year. That sucks.
Toronto, like, they're better than I thought they were going to be. And certainly after last year when guys were just missing all the time, like, they're more competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, the East is crowded, man.
Yeah, the East is really crowded. And that's working against the Wizards. I don't think the Hornets belong in that category, though. Like, maybe go to the conference finals. Even if they have a perfect draw, they're not going to the conference finals.
I mean, I just have a hard time believing in them right now when they still have a negative point differential and things like that. Like, that's kind of a barometer for me early in the season where I'm like, they might not be as good as their record. They might be dropping some here pretty soon.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Let's go to the Western Conference. The Minnesota Timberwolves are on fire. They are in a we can make the play-in tournament by default run against the Kings and against the Spurs. They beat both of them this past week, I think. They blew out the Memphis Grizzlies Saturday night. They were up 40-plus pretty regularly in that third and fourth quarter.
What's going on with the Grizz defense?
Yo, it's so bad. Dude. It's so bad. And so I'm curious, like, what do you think makes the Kings sicker? The fan court side or the fact that the Wolves maybe caught a second wind here? That dude puked all over the sidelines. How does that happen?
I've been drunk before and escorted out courtside. But
you got escorted out courtside? I love that.
Yeah.
Please tell us the story. You got to tell us the story.
Wait a second. What?
Yes. So during the time, I think the Bulls were like bad, and I was like an honorary Denver Nugget fan. I don't know what reason why I became a Denver Nugget fan. But I think it was Jokic's second year. And
okay,
me and Omar, shout out to Omar, we got courtside seats. This is before I was in the media game to watch the Suns versus the Nuggets. Well, we drank the whole time before the game. And yeah, I want to say,
Omar's going to have you drinking. Yeah, that's true.
So we got to the point where it was like third quarter. And I don't know why. I just got up and started screaming, shout out to Big Jeff. And I don't know who Big Jeff is. But I start dozing off like the 10-minute mark of fourth quarter. And the security came and was like, hey, you gotta go if you're falling asleep. And I was just like so lit, dude.
Like, oh, they were watching you. If they were waiting to see you fall asleep,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
they were,
I was
the
out
security
of it, though.
Guard was named Big Jeff.
I could not wake up. I could not stay awake, dude. And like I was literally just drunk. Shut just up, drunk at the Jeff. At the game. I'm talking about like maybe those like big handle mugs of beer. I was college wasted. So, but I didn't puke. No. So I'm thinking about this dude and I'm like, what type of mission he went on to get drunk? I get it. It's the Kings. He lives in Sacramento. I understand.
You got to drink.
Sorry, Zach.
I mean, living in Sacramento drives
sorry,
you
Zach.
Drink.
But
hey, I got out for a reason.
But
you got to drink.
But at the end of the day,
Luke Walton's like, damn, save some for me.
Look, that's not even a flex to sit like at Golden One courtside, right? So no. I'm sure whatever mission he was on, he got there. And he got there too fast.
I've been scouring these Nuggets rosters trying to figure out who Jeff could be.
Is it possible? Was Jeff Lizdelic still coaching one of these teams or as an assistant somewhere?
Bro, I don't even know who Jeff. Like, honestly, I wish I could pair it to somebody, but I just
it's
kept...
possible you thought Juan Hernan Gomez was named Jeff. I'm open to that.
Looks like a Jeff. Looks like
know.
A Jeff.
I just kept
standing
saying it.
Standing for Teague.
Just mad Jeff Teague isn't in this game. there's a John Jenkins on the Suns at the time. I don't know, man. That's weird. That's a tough one.
What a story. What a story.
Oh, and what also, I was wearing a Phoenix Suns Devin Booker shirt. It was so funny. Like, it's like it's just like PH. Yeah, listen, I was wearing a jersey, so you know I was locked in. I had my lanyard.
Oh my God, you were like, all out.
I had the row one, seat one type thing with the lanyard. I had a backwards hat on. Like, I was broed out. It was crazy, dog. I was just literally lit. It was funny, though.
I need to see front row Trey more often.
Yeah, I need to see assimilation Trey. Like, this is...
Nah, man. They'd never take me serious again if I start doing that. But like, it was a part of Omar's.
I can't imagine you in a jersey.
It was his 30. He's trying to hit every arena, and Phoenix was on it. So that was the reason why I went. And like,
did you get him chucked too?
Yeah, we both got out. Yeah, both were out.
Man, yeah. Was that his first time in the arena?
Yeah, but it was crazy because he didn't live there.
So you got him escorted out of the arena?
But, I mean, we made it to the fourth
quarter. When he's
going
around.
Jay, don't shame Trey. He gave him a once-in-a lifetime experience.
That
don't shame
true.
Trey. He helped him out.
We both wore jerseys, and I think he wore, I want to say, this is 2016. Was Bledsoe still on that roster?
Jeff Bledsoe? Jeff Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe was on that roster, yeah.
So he had a Bledsoe jersey and I had Book. Yep. Yeah. I got to find that picture, but when I find it, I'm going to share it with y'all. It's so funny.
I told you guys about the time I almost got thrown out of a Suns game in Phoenix, right? It was by Brian Colangelo.
I've heard this, but it's a good one too.
Well, if I've told on the story, I don't want to retell it, but...
Am I the only one who hasn't been ejected from an NBA basketball game?
I didn't get ejected, but I think it's because Jason Kidd broke his foot. I think it's the only reason I didn't get thrown out. But it was very close.
Colangelo had bigger things to deal with in the moment.
Yeah,
than
he
Zach.
Was ready to get me tossed, and then Jason Kidd broke his foot. And as he was running to the locker room right before halftime, I yelled, "Yeah, go check on your meal ticket." And he turned around and looked at me, and I thought, oh, fuck. He was not happy. all right. So, the Timberwolves, we're not taking them seriously, but are we taking them more seriously than we would the Kings or the Spurs? Like, one of these teams is going to get into the play-in tournament.
This is like the opposite of violence. Like, we were searching for violence earlier. Now it's like, nobody cares.
It's so weird, though. Like, the roles have swapped, right? Like, the East used to be like, no one gives a shit who's getting in at the back end of that conference for the play for the playoffs. And even last year for the play-in tournament, like, nobody wanted to watch Indiana, right? And then they stomped the Hornets. Like, that was a disappointing part of the play-in tournament. We thought, oh, this fun Hornets team. And then they got waxed by like 40. And that was disappointing. This year, that's going to be somebody in the West.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And it might be Minnesota.
It might be.
You know, when you're looking at it with, you said San Antonio or Sacramento. I think Sacramento is going to be pretty close to firing Luke Walton. So who knows what happens
I'm
there.
Pretty sure. Like, he will probably, I wouldn't be shocked if he's fired before this podcast gets posted.
I was shocked he wasn't fired by the time I woke up this morning. Yeah. But there's that. San Antonio doesn't have the firepower. And, you know, so Oklahoma City's right behind Minnesota, but we all know what's going to happen they're right. Thinking. So, I mean, like, they're kind of just going to make the play-in tournament by default if they don't screw up.
Unless Zion comes back, Ingram's back, you know, maybe the Pelicans outside chance of getting it all together.
Hell no.
Okay, there we go. All right. So, so yeah, I mean, I guess that's progress for the Wolves. Just making the play-in tournament in general would definitely be progress, but I fear it would be reinforcing some bad habits.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to think this is the trio to go forward with. Edwards, Russell, and Kat. Like, I'm not in on D'Angelo Russell. I don't think that's the guy you're really going to win with long term. Yeah,
he's been terrible this year. He's been terrible. Ant's been great.
But Ant's been great. Kat's been awesome. When you look at what D'Angelo Russell's doing, you're looking at it, and then if they make the play-in tournament, they're all going to feel justified. And it's like, nah, man, like that. You need to upgrade that.
It's weird. They're a team that, I guess, sort of like the Wizards, although not nearly as successful this season, but they're a team where I'm like, why has their defense been good and their offense has been mediocre? Because they don't fit the profile of that in any way. I guess, I don't know, like all the numbers are going to be skewed because they beat the Grizzlies early on in the season by so much last night. But yeah, like I don't know if Chris Finch is doing a good job. I don't know if Luke Walton's just doing that bad of a job. I don't know if Pop has the players to. I think it would be funniest if Pop coaches them to the 10 spot in the West.
I mean, the Spurs never die. So it's kind of like if those teams sputter, you do feel like the Spurs are at some point are just going to sneak off and run, you know, win 9 out of 10 games and kind of get right back in the race of things. So, you know, it's the threat for them of just like, don't mess up, man. Their Spurs are coming.
Jay, you mentioned Memphis and how bad the defense is. It's been atrocious, and I think they were waiting for Dylan Brooks to get back to kind of help fix everything, and that hasn't really worked since he's been back. And so I do think we were a little distracted by how great John Morant's been this season.
Yeah, and that group has historically been a really tough group, been a group that defends like hell. But I do think their kind of youth movement, in a way, has hurt them. Like, they're minimizing Kyle Anderson, who was a huge part of that defense and always seems to be in the right position and can defend any number of players. And they've gone away from some of that, which I get because Jaren Jackson Jr. is the future for them. But also, that's going to hurt you defensively in the short term, and it's a change that needs to happen. And also, Brooks is a huge deal. Like, Brooks sets a tone for that team. He can take some wild shots sometimes, but he does. but that dude is all heart, all soul, all fire. And
are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Like, they've missed that. When he was out, they really
missed
Dylan Brooks.
Writing a ballad about him? All sorrow, all soul, all heart, all fire?
Yeah. So my brother has always been
like... Get this man a Brooks jersey.
My brother has always been the biggest Dylan Brooks fan. And he would text me like, Dylan Brooks, like, they go as far as Dylan Brooks takes him. And I used to be like, just chill out. Dylan Brooks takes the worst shots in the entire world. I cannot stand watching Dylan Brooks play basketball. That dude has won me over so many times. Wow. Just by playing harder than anyone else.
I can't believe he's in his fifth season. That doesn't seem right to me.
I have come 180 degrees on Dylan Brooks. I could not stand watching him play basketball for the longest time. And now I think he is a huge, huge ingredient to their success. So he's won me over. The rest of their defense needs to be more like Dylan Brooks.
There it is. On the other side of that conference, the Phoenix Suns are surging. They've won 11 in a row. Feels like they're back. Maybe the Sarver thing lit a fire. I don't know. Something's happened to where they're on a roll now. And Mo, it's kind of surprising. I don't feel like any one player has really taken over during this time, right? Like I feel like it's that great like group collective from them that we saw last year. And DeAndre Ayton missed a bunch of time, right? He missed like 5 or 6 games. And they've just been able to, you know, plug in JaVale, plug in Frank, like Frank Kaminsky hit 30 in a game, right? Like they've been able to just plug guys in, and it's that Monty Williams group collective like they had last year, where it's not just one dude carrying them.
Yeah, no. First off, that's offensive. Frank Kaminsky was the star for them, Zach, during that run when Ayton was out. Don't take that away from Frank the Tank. Okay.
10 points.
No, but you know, just so it was an important 10. It was an important 10. It was a loud 10, Zach. JaVale's was a quiet 10. No, but what they've been doing has been awesome. And it's hard to pinpoint like exactly who's killing it. Cause like CP's not shooting it well from three or things like that. Obviously, yeah. Booker's going off and scoring and leading them in scoring. But it is very much a communal sort of, everybody's kind of just doing their part. Everybody's defending. They're number three in defensive rating early in the year. And I know that'll may change, but they've been rock solid on that end, and that's kind of what sort of propelled them to this big win streak that nobody seems to notice is happening.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that's the funny thing, Trey, is like I knew the Suns were on a roll, but I didn't realize it was 11 in a row. I was just like, oh, they're playing really well lately, and now it's like, oh, this team's dominating.
Yeah, they again, it's been overshadowed by this Sarver stuff, which sucks, but Monty got those guys responding, and I mean They've kind of been unified since, you know, the run last year. But even before that, building up that culture, he's been doing an amazing job. And I think even just trying to get other guys involved, like he's mentioning in post-game and pre-game, saying, you know, more so like we need to call more plays for Cam Johnson and things of that nature. And like most coaches don't normally just shout out a fourth option or a third option guy to like get more involved. But like these guys are making the right plays, you know what I mean? And, you know, although, you know, everyone joked about it, including myself, about paying a 35-year-old Chris Paul at the time, he's 36 now, as far as like, oh, he's getting old, but like, nah, they're thriving, dude. He's not in the way, and they're sharing the ball and they're sharing the wealth. And I think that this Suns team is not a fluke. They're for real. They belong in the conversation. I don't know where they'll fail, you know, where they'll end up come late April or May, but they definitely need to be respected, like how the Jazz and, you know, and how the Warriors are rolling, you know, so.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And yeah, you talked earlier, Zach, about how Trae Young is just kind of taking the lackadaisical approach, right? Like, oh man, these games don't mean anything to the playoffs. That's the difference between having Trae Young and Chris Paul as your point guard leader. Chris Paul is not just urgent right now. He is desperate.
I don't know if that's fair. Like, there's 50 years apart. No,
Chris Paul's a psychopath, dude. Chris Paul's crazy, dude. That's different.
Trae Young's still playing well. They're just not taking this seriously.
But I think he knows that. Just like how
Chris Paul sets a tone of taking everything extremely seriously.
I think it's the same way as how LeBron has that sense of urgency, knowing that the clock is ticking for those dudes.
Yeah.
They know that they can't afford to lose games, especially they don't have that luxury. I mean, obviously, you know, Book, when he's going, but sometimes he'll kind of fade away, or sometimes he has those nagging injuries where it's his finger or something and he's out, and then they lose a stretch of games. And, you know, Chris Paul knows how important seeding is. And if they get the right matchup, they can, again, end up in the same position that they ended up in, you know? So you have to play to win, you know what I mean? And you never know, because may the healthy team win. I think that's been the case for the past couple of years now since Warriors-Cavs thing. You know what I mean? After the Warriors-Cavs kind of fell out, everybody, it's been up for grabs since then. And it's just about health, being healthy. You know what I mean? Because we've kind of been riding the coattails of the Nuggets every year, and then they kind of get hurt. And, you know, which team is going to be the healthiest and make it and last all the way to June?
Something I saw this morning, and I got to be honest, I didn't know this was a rule. And I'm mad that it's a rule. Robin Lopez got a free throw violation. Not shooting a free throw, but lining up, because he was yelling instructions to Mo Wagner. He was yelling to teammates, like, hey, stay there. Hey, you're going to pinch here. Like, we're going to do the right for rebounding stuff. And Giannis missed a free throw when it happened. And so the ref said that that Robin Lopez had to be quiet. And I got to be honest, I didn't know that if you're lined up, that you couldn't, like, yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. But Robin Lopez doesn't have an indoor voice, as we know. Like, I think, for all we know, he was whispering.
It does kind of make sense because you know, otherwise, like, why wouldn't guys just holler at you?
Sure. Like, it's connecting now, but I've never heard this.
So. Guys have always barked out instructions.
Yeah, it made me angry. I'm like, what is this? Golf? Tennis? That's weak as hell.
What was dumb about it, too? He wasn't like over the top, just like screaming in somebody's ear or anything. He was.
Yeah, he wasn't talking trash. He was just like, yeah.
But the best part was after that, Robin Lopez just starts yelling at his guys, going, "Be quiet, everybody! Be quiet, everybody! Be quiet!"
That was the best part on the rim mic. It was so great. But yeah, I got angry, and it shocked me. Now I'm starting to wonder, like, what rules don't I know that exist? But yeah, like that whole thing of Robin Lopez getting in trouble for being too loud on a basketball court. If anybody was going to do that before, it would have been like Joakim Noah, right? That's when we would have found out about it.
Yeah, I wonder if he just annoyed the ref that day. And it was very possible. Just, you know what, screw it. Giannis, you get another free throw. That wasn't fair. Like, maybe the ref was having a bad day. You know, maybe his coffee order didn't come right or whatnot or things like that. Like, whatever. He's just sort of frustrated because I've never seen that. And it wasn't, like you guys said, he was literally just yelling out instructions. Mo Wagner, you stay there. You forget who else he was talking to, but you box out. Do it like that. He is literally talking basketball. Like, it's not. I think,
come on. It's not like Steph Curry missed the free throw. It's Giannis. Like, I don't think that's the reason Giannis missed the free throw.
Ridiculous.
All right. Before we go, we are heading into Thanksgiving week. And so you can name, you know, watching the Lions play football. You can. I'm not going to ask you to say what you're thankful for because I don't give a shit. But I am curious what your favorite part of Thanksgiving holiday is. Mo, we'll start with you.
I mean, it's the food, but in particular, I just love the gravy. You have a good gravy, that's a great Thanksgiving meal.
Okay, that's a solid choice. Jay?
I'm extremely thankful that I get to fly to San Antonio on Thanksgiving.
Hey, man, you get some Tex-Mex Thanksgiving? That's not bad.
By myself, alone, in a hotel room. That is actually, no, I'm thankful for this Klay Thompson news.
I'm not asking you what you're thankful for. I don't care. I just want to know what your favorite part of Thanksgiving is. I don't care what you're thankful for, Jay. Okay,
Klay Thompson's weren't listening. Coming back. That's
again, you're answering a question I'm not asking you.
I'm not a turkey guy, though.
Are we having two different conversations here? What's happening?
I don't think turkey is very good. I just wanted to state that.
Okay.
There are much better meat choices that could be possible for Thanksgiving. That's like the biggest drawback to Thanksgiving is they picked a suspect meat.
Okay. So I asked you, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving? And you gave me one that you're thankful for Klay Thompson is about to return, it sounds like. And two, correct. The thing you don't like about Thanksgiving.
Also correct.
All right, cool. Trey, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving? Or a complaint, I guess, is now on the table, thanks to Jay.
Oh, I mean, since we got complaints now, man, why we got to dress up to go sit to eat?
I have not done that for years. I'm coming to dinner in my sweats because it's just my family. The hell am I going to dress up for them for? Yeah, man, I'm with you. Point. Like, you should not have to dress up for Thanksgiving dinner.
This is also my first non-vegan Thanksgiving, so I'm
wow. Big day.
Take it slow, Trey. Don't just start gorging. Like, you got to, like,
breaking news.
You can't shock the system.
Breaking news.
Shouts to Big Jeff.
Luke Walton has been fired.
Yep. There it is. That's what we were waiting for. Get out of here. I mean, it's going to make that 15 minutes ago talk about the Kings look funny now. But hey, we still got it in for the podcast. Luke Walton fired. Very expected. Actually, I thought it was going to happen Friday night. I had heard that it was about to happen Friday night. So I'm shocked they let him have another game here. Not this front office is higher for coach, right? So you're kind of on borrowed time there. And with Luke, you know, third year in Sacramento, I don't think any of this was his fault, but he also wasn't fixing it. So I don't know. What do you guys think about this Luke Walton news?
I mean, I was shocked they gave him another season.
So, I mean, that's the end of his coaching career. I'm going to say that. I'm just going to keep it.
He's definitely not going to get a head coaching job.
Yeah, he's out of there unless he wants to do assistant joint. But who's that go to? Alvin Gentry now?
Probably. No, I don't believe he'll get. I think it's going to go to Doug Christie.
Well, that's cool. Shouts to Doug.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what I've heard would be the scenario. Is that and it's look, I guess I don't know if we should keep recording until we find out that next thing. But what I heard, and maybe this has changed since Friday because I thought he was going to get fired Friday too. What I've heard is Alvin not getting it would be Alvin's choice. Not
taking the job as interim or now, maybe or whatever. He changes.
Maybe he changed his mind. But what I heard was Alvin was not going to take that, and then it would go to Doug Christie after that.
They gave Luke Walton a lot of time, man.
A lot of time.
In Sacramento, though? This is his third season. Like, and that team sucks, man. That's not a good roster.
But he's not a good coach either.
Agreed. He's not.
But, to be fair, he did win like 70 straight games with the Warriors.
Yep. We all know that was him.
it was all him. I mean,
it's just funny. Like, look, man, I just look at this Kings roster and I've never thought, oh, here they come. They're on their way. Like, the roster just doesn't make sense. Like, the two things I like the most about it are
Alvin Tyrese Halliburton and...
Oh, he is getting the nod. Okay. I guess that changed.
All right.
Yeah.
What's crazy is they played well for Dave Yeager.
Dave Yeager's a solid coach.
But I'm saying, like, they just got rid of him.
Yeah, it's the Kings.
Yes.
This is what they do. They get rid of a coach every year and a half.
Under Yeager.
It's working. Let's get rid of him. That's Kings. You know, like, that's their whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's, should anyone want that job?
I mean, it pays well.
Only 30 of them.
Yeah, it pays well.
It's only 30 of them. You take it.
And I'll tell you what, like, Fox is really freaking good.
What does that mean?
Really freaking good.
He's not this year.
And he hasn't been this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been this year. And the point guard position is so good and saturated. Like, I don't look at him and think, like, that's going to be one of the guys. And that's not a knock on him necessarily, but I just look at that position. I'm like, yo, it's loaded with guys.
Yeah, well, I kind of look at their roster and I feel like you can build
with what?
Like a high charged offense with.
Yes, but they had historically the second worst defense in NBA history last year.
Yeah, but, I mean, you gotta figure some things out on that.
But I think the issue is that they're treating this as like, all right, we're building around De'Aaron Fox, and like, he's not good enough for that.
But are they? Because they drafted Davion Mitchell.
They also didn't draft De'Aaron Fox.
They've gone out and just tried to get like great fits for Fox. Like, that hasn't been. I don't think they're – and they haven't built a system around him. Like, Yeager had them flying up and down the court. And they took advantage of his speed. They took advantage of how electric he is in transition. I feel like lately they haven't done that. Give him the keys for real, and build everything around him.
That sounds like a recipe for mediocrity.
He's as fast as it gets. Well, that's a lot better than what they've been.
I don't know that it is, though. I think it's the same as what they've been. Again, like he's a fine player, but I think if he's even your second best player, like, that doesn't sound good to me. But the way he plays, I don't know if he can be anything less than that. Like, that's a dude that's going to have to look in the mirror at a certain point if they can put more talent around him.
Would you do Simmons for Fox?
If you're Sacramento. If I'm Sacramento? Hell yes.
Right? Like, a no-brainer?
Yeah. Simmons has been an all-NBA player. Fox has not been close.
I mean, that might be something I want to see happen.
That'd be
fun. Again, I don't know if I'm building a team around Simmons, but I feel better doing that than I do Fox. And again, Fox is good, but he's not a top dude on a team. Not on a good team.
Yeah. That's pretty fair. Yeah. I do think there's another level there, like a much higher level.
I mean, I would hope so. He's in like his fifth or sixth season. Like, you shouldn't top out at this point. But yeah, like I don't want to put all the Kings problems on him. Like, the roster's just not very good.
Tristan Thompson's rant was great, though. Great rant from Tristan Thompson. One thing the Kings have done well over the last...
One of the things they've done well is get Tristan Thompson to rant about the situation.
Just let him rant.
Yes. I'm with you on that. All right. Well... I guess Luke Walton's not thankful for employment during this, but he still gets paid, right?
Yeah, he gets paid. Yeah. Man, he's going to be fine. He'll be fine.
Just like if you subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/NBA show, you subscribe to that thing right now before midnight of November 29th. You're going to get $1 a month for 12 months. We've never done this before. It's kind of insane to think we would do this. You can take advantage of our Black Friday / Cyber Monday sale, theathletic.com/NBA show, and get the best coverage of sports on the internet for $1 a month for 12 months. For Trey, for Jay, for Mo, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
Enjoy the Riverwalk for Thanksgiving there, Jay.
Thanks. Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
Tex-Mexmas.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.